carrefour des arts. Broadcasted by Canal Academy. Listen to Cristalleux.
Fragonard, the pleasures of the 18th century, or Fragonard Revisited. From the 3rd of October 2007 to the 13th of January 2008, the Jacquemart André Museum in Paris opens its doors to the work of an exceptional artist of the great French 18th century, Jean-Honoré Fragonard. On the occasion of the bicentenary of his death in 1806, it was important that Paris, the city where Fragonard spent most of his career, should pay tribute to one of the greatest painters of his century. And through around 100 works, the exhibition highlights the work of one of these eminent representatives of the culture of this time. The Jacquemart André Museum, which already owns a remarkable collection of the principal painters of the 18th century, including Watteau, Boucher or Chardin. And also, of course, one may say, Fragonard could not have been neglected. Now this exhibition proposes to revisit the artist's work and it shows it in a completely new light. Canal Academy is extremely pleased to receive Marianne Dupuis-Vacher, an art historian and commissioner of the show. Marianne Dupuis-Vacher, hello.
Hello.
You are author of two important books on Fragonard, a monograph published in 2006, and Fragonard and Orlando Furioso. You also participated in the important Fragonard exhibition in 1987-88, first at the Grand Palais in Paris and then at the Metropolitan Museum in New York. It seems you have a special interest and maybe even some passion for this artist. So before delving further into the work of this artist and before following you in your long research about him, which upsets some of the traditional views, if not clichés, about Fragonard, can you please explain to us your inner reasons of this preference? Why Fragonard? Is it the spirit of this century particularly? Or is it his particular brush stroke? Or is it the choice of his favorite subjects? What can you tell us about your preference, Marianne Dupuis-Vacher?
In fact, it's a question of circumstances at the beginning. As you told us, I was the assistant of Pierre Rosenberg 20 years ago for the big show at the Grand Palais and then at the Metropolitan. And like this, I could learn a lot about Fragonard. But I was very young at this time and I didn't follow to work on Fragonard. And it's many years later that an editor asked me to publish something about the illustration by Fragonard for Orlando Furioso. And with this book, I discovered many new things about Fragonard, and especially that he was someone very much more intellectual than we could guess before. So when the Musée Jacquemart André asked me to do an exhibition, I thought that it was a good idea to show a new aspect of Fragonard. It was quite a challenge to work about an artist that has so mystery in his life. We know so few things about him.
About his biography, yes.
Yes. His biography is full of many lacks, in fact. We know that it comes from the south of France, that Boucher, Chardin first, and Boucher were his first master. Then that he won the Prix de Rome in 1752, and then he goes to Italy for the first time, and then he go back to Italy in 1773. But we don't know anything about his current life. He was married in 1769. He had two children, but we do not know who he used to meet, who he used to do, why he was so angry with his patron, like Du Barry or like Guimard. There are so many different things and complex questions about his relationship with his patron that it was very interesting to find something new about this painter.
Well, this brings us directly to the next question about justement his life and his career. So we know that it's very difficult to track his different facts of life. But we know some important chapters of his life, like the two journeys to Italy, for instance,
Yes, the two journals were very important. Yes. The first one, he was a young student and he was not yet Fragonard, as we know Fragonard. And he learns in the country of Rome, and for example, at the Villa d'Este at Tivoli, he used to make some drawings with Hubert Robert, and this time was very important for him.
Another important painter of this period. Yes,
his contemporary, direct contemporary French painter. And the second trip was quite different. He was yet an experimental artist, well-known artist. And his second trip, during this second trip, he made some drawings not in red chalk, but with lavish. He experimented a new technique. So these two travel
in his drawings, yes.
Yes, are very important because we do not know when Fragonard did this drawing or this painting because he didn't put his signature on his works. And when he signed rapidly, Frago, and not Fragonard.
And on very few works,
yes, very
actually.
Few. So it's very difficult to understand the chronology of his works.
Yes. But we still know that, for instance, that in 1752, I think, he went
to the Prix de Rome.
He stayed
in Paris 2 years more because he had to pass through the École Royale des Élèves Protégés. And then he goes to Rome in 1756.
56, yes. And he stayed there until 61, I think.
Yes. And he could stay more than usually the students stay because he wanted to. He loved Rome, in fact. And he
was in good
more.
Company with the famous Abbé de Saint-Nom,
which was someone very, not Abbé, in fact. He was an amateur, a collector, a draftsman, an engraver. And he was the first patron for Fragonard and very generous one. And it's with the Abbé de Saint-Nom that Fragonard go back to France. And making many stops in all the main stone
regions in Italy.
And he could make some copy after the masters in these churches or palace and private collection. And like this, he could gather a whole collection that could inspire him in the future.
Yes. Gave him the opportunity of having a large view of the world also because the son of Italy probably inspired him a lot also.
Through all his life. Yes.
And wasn't it at this period that he discovered the famous Contes of La Fontaine, which are not to be confused with the Fables de La Fontaine, which are very different. So maybe you can tell us about
it. You don't learn at school the Contes and Nouvelles.
You better not.
Better not. And at the end of his first stay in Italy, that he illustrates his contes, which are very crude and erotic. And he made 60 compositions after this conte, which are full of spirit and humor. And when he come back to France, he made a second series. And it's only at the end of his career, under the Revolution, that an editor wanted to make an edition after these drawings. But only 20 plates were done after these drawings. So these projects fall down, in fact, like all the enterprise for illustration made by Fragonard.
Yes. So, as you said, his biography had many, many hidden zones. But let me refer to an article in the exhibition catalogue by Pierre Rosenberg of the Académie Française, as we know. Actually, we had the pleasure of having him as a guest in Canal Académie for several occasions. So, Pierre Rosenberg, whom you know very well because you worked with him for
3 years
to prepare this famous exhibition in 1987.
Yes, much years for the Vivant de Nom exhibition too. And
yes, that's another figure who met Fragonard.
Who?
Vivant de Nom.
Ah, Vivant de Nom.
Because he was a friend of l'abbé
and l'abbé de Saint-Nom and Fragonard. And he made the...
It was a nice company altogether.
Yes, and likes spiritual things and so on. And he made a few engravings after the drawings by Fragonard, and especially the Don Quixote illustration.
Yes. So we come back to the article of Pierre Rosenberg, who says that you raised some fundamental issues And if you don't mind, I would like to ask you some questions on our beloved artist Fragonard in the name of Pierre Rosenberg. So, for instance, the distinction between Fragonard and Hubert Robert, which you just mentioned, or the distinction between Fragonard and Boucher. Or another question, his action at the Louvre during the French Revolution. What did he do during this time? And why and when did Fragonard cease his painting activities at the end of his life? And last not least, a big chapter about the various interpretations of Fragonard's work from the historical point of view, or why not from the psychoanalytical one?
In fact, the career of Fragonard is different of all his contemporary. He didn't belong to an artist family, like many others. And he comes from a quite modest family, from Grasse. And he didn't have a cultural background very important.
And Like Watteau,
Hubert Robert, who learned at the famous Collège de Navarre. And after, he didn't join the academy, in fact.
He was elected with his first painting?
He was agréé. I don't know the proper name. It was only agréé. And he should, after, produce another painting to be completely accepted by the academy. But in fact, he never produced it. And he treats the academy with much disdain. It's very surprising, in fact. And when the king asked him to paint something for Versailles, for the castle of Versailles, or for Marly, or for the Louvre, he didn't answer. In fact, he was very poor at this time, and he needed money, and so he preferred to paint for private collectors, private rich financial, and fermiers généraux.
Because here we can say that the king didn't pay him right away.
No.
It took months, if not years.
More than 1 year.
More than 1 year to be paid.
To pay his big
So he was discouraged.
Paid. Yes, completely discouraged.
And finally, with his journey to Italy and the inspiration of Italian life and this wonderful, nice, cultivated company of L'Abbé de Saint-Nom, Vivant de Nom, and Hubert Robert. So he decided finally to let his inspiration go.
He had his studio in the Louvre, inside the Louvre, and he lived inside the Louvre. He married in 1769, and he had his proper life, but he didn't mix with the other artists, in fact. He was very independent and liked to travel. He, as we said, he go back the second time to Italy, but he made many trips in the northern country, in Belgium and in the Low Country, because he liked very much...
To the Netherlands also?
Netherlands, yes. Mm. And he liked very much Rubens and Rembrandt and Herzdahl and Wouvermans. And in some paintings, he made some pastiche of these painters. And like so he moved a lot and sometimes paint for rich financial men and some.
Yes. And during the revolution, what happened with him?
The end of the career of Fragonard was quite sad. His little son said to us that he stopped to paint at the age of 50. So it's a very short career.
And he lived how old?
And he died at the age of 74. Hmm. So he had many years till his life. This end of his career was maybe...
The most documented one.
Yes, because every day he signed some paper, because he was at the time, thanks to David, a curator of the Louvre, of the museum, which was open with the revolution. Mm. And he used to work on the new paintings coming from the north or the Italy, which were kept by the revolutionary military.
But by the way, wasn't Vivant de Nos at that time director of the Louvre?
He was director a little after, in 82. And Fragonard stopped to be a curator in
1800.
Yes.
So 6 years before he died.
Hmm. And it's funny to know that Fragonard was occupied by the Royal Collection in Versailles that he bring back to the Louvre in Paris. And he bring back to the Louvre the famous Gioconda.
Oh, thank you, Fragonard.
Thank you, Frago.
So now all the tourists of the world can admire the Gioconda at the Louvre thanks to Fragonard. And little answer, because unfortunately we don't have so much time, some different interpretations of Fragonard's work, let's say from the historical point of view, for instance, or from the psychoanalytical one?
There are some interpretation, most made by Anglo-Saxon historian and student, which project, in fact, sometimes the phantasm of the author. I'm not used to this way to work on. For example, I read recently some things about the famous Seesaw by the Fragonard.
The famous,
Seesaw, the Escarpolette.
Ah, yes.
With
the famous painting, which is, I think, in the Frick collection?
No, in the Wallace collection in London.
Oh, in the Wallace collection in London, yes.
And the Hasard Heureux de l'Escarpolette.
Yes, we know it better in French.
Yes. And the author of this article said that it compared the landscape, which is behind the composition, with the stomach of a woman, which a baby, the embryon.
Oh, the embryon.
Yes. Uh-huh. So I don't think it's puts some light on Fragonard. I think it's much more interesting for psychoanalysts, not very much for...
Not so much for the admirers of the artist. Yes. Yes. I suggest we take a short, very short musical break, and why not with Mozart, as he is roughly a contemporary of Fragonard, and certainly as light and airy with his notes as the painter was with his brush strokes. And after that, we shall try to discover the new Fragonard thanks to the advanced research of our guest, Marianne Vichy-Vaché. We continue our talk with Marianne Dupuis-Vaché, art historian and specialist of Jean-Honoré Fragonard. We shall now revisit Fragonard, thanks to your exceptionally observant eye. And in the exhibition catalogue, we find some outstanding contributions by Pierre Rosenberg of the Académie Française, Jean-Pierre Bablon, member of the Institut de France and president of the Jacquemart-André Foundation, and also by Nicolas Saint-Far-Garnaud, the curator of Jacquemart-André. And all of them say that your personal view and studies have revealed some entirely new facets of Fragonard and thus provided us with secret keys to understand this complex figure. Marianne Dupuis-Vaché, may I ask you, what was your big discovery?
Everybody wants to know who was Fragonard. In fact, everybody knows how he's a virtuoso, how his technique is incredible. Some paintings are reputed to be painted in 1 hour, for example, and he's much admired for that. But we don't know, in fact, many things about him, as I told you before. And when I saw all this drawing and his painting inspired by some literary subject, I could guess that he was much more intellectual than we knew, and that he read a lot. Even, for example, Orlando Furioso in Italian. He likes poetry.
Well, he stayed in Italy. But still,
he was born in Grasse, which is near Italy. But in fact, the poem of the 16th century is not the Italian of the 18th century, but he could capture the poetry, the rhythm of the poetry and translate it in his drawings. And that shows that how Fragonard is very subtle in his manner of his illustrating.
And had a real literary taste.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
In fact, at first he does that for himself. We don't know any comment from patrons. I think all these drawings stay in his home. And when he died, all were dispersed. But in fact, he does that first for himself and not for money purpose.
Yes, actually, he was never really interested in earning money. No, this was not his main interest. No, he was rather poor.
He was very critical during this time because he left the academic way. People accused him to be interested in money. But in fact, he was not interested. He's, thanks to his wife, he could earn some money before he was in
at the,
very
in the second
poor.
Part of his life when,
yes,
when he married Marguerite
Marianne. Marguerite was his sister. In law, which whom he paints some paintings at the end of his life.
Yes.
But Marianne Gérard was a painter for miniature, in fact.
Yes.
Some pastiche of her husband.
And who took very well care
yes.
of her
husband.
Mm-hmm. She was very loyal, yes.
Yes.
And she was also called, but in a very tender manner, she was called the cashier.
Exactly. Fragonard used to say, my cashier.
Because without her, maybe he would have been even poorer. Yes. So, and his main sources of inspiration, can you tell us
there
something about
way.
It?
There are different ways. There is a libertine way with La Fontaine, but also the contemporary like Boufflers, who wrote a little charming conte, Aline, Reine de Golconde, which was very, very famous, not only because it's a very nice conte, but also because it's a libertine one and which was written by somebody, by Boufflers, who was at the time he wrote him in a clergy. He was at a seminary.
A clergyman, yes.
He was at a seminary. So it was a great scandal, so a great success. And he was obliged to leave the seminary. And Fragonard liked this conte and made different drawings for it. And there is another vein, in fact, we can say like vein,
yes.
With libertine, but also moral. He made some paintings after Marmontel, the friend of the encyclopedist, Annette Lubin, which is a very charming conte. And Fragonard illustrates the conte by one painting, Annette at the age of 15. And then he follows the conte. Even Marmontel don't speak about the life of Annette after. Fragonard show Annette at the age of 20. He rivalized with the author. And he make also some drawings after Madame de Genlis, which was the Veillée des Châteaux, which is a very moral tale, not a tale, a romance. And also there is the chivalry vein with Orlando Furioso, but also Don Quixote.
The Cervantes,
yes.
So really, thanks to you, we discovered a complete new Fragonard. Because
yes.
It was, I must say, until your commission of this exhibition, it was absolutely unknown that he was inspired by so many literary
yes.
themes.
He was considered mostly like a frivolous painter.
Yes.
And now we can see that he is a very rich
artist. Behind this
he's
was
Yes. At the same level of the author and the great writer of this time or the antique part.
And may I ask you, before we unfortunately have to leave you, may I ask you to be our guide through some of the rooms, each one assembling several works on a different theme. So we started the first room, Fragonard, the painter of history. That was the period where he was agreed, if not elected, at the Academy of the Prix de, where he got his Prix
yes,
de Rome.
Prix de Rome, yes.
Which painting?
Jeroboam sacrificant aux idoles, the sacrifice of the Jeroboam, which was the first king of Israel from the Bible.
Yes.
And we show also some other history paintings that show that Fragonard knows very well the antique literature and very some subjects that nobody else used to represent. And the allegoric painting of the end of his career, which are a different manner, quite pre-romantic. And the second room, which shows
the gallant and libertine scenes, the
exactly, with
most
nice,
famous ones.
Nice women were naked, and also some sketches for the Du Barry command.
The famous
mistress of
panels.
The,
yes. which are now to be seen in the Frick collection in New York.
Mm. Yes, which couldn't go out.
Be transported, of course, yes.
Yes, and...
But we can see some
sketches, yes, for this painting that were refused by the mistress of Louis XV. We don't know why. And these sketches are very
Was she
different.
Scandalized, maybe?
No, because they are not very too much erotic. In fact, it's come couples yes, running yes. in the country in a very beautiful landscape. Yeah. But maybe she found that they were not appropriate for the type of the architecture of his pavilion built by Claude-Nicolas Ledoux, a very famous neoclassical architect. Maybe Fragonard made some allusion of the career of the mistress of Louis XV inside the paintings.
Yes.
We do not know. It's one of the many mysteries of the
anyway,
career of Fragonard.
Anyway, they stayed there yes. because they were first sort of put away by Fragonard.
Yes, he brings them...
And some American collector many years
at the beginning of the 20th century bought them and brings them back to United States.
Yes.
And then we have a little room devoted to the La Fontaine tales and also the drawings by Fragonard and also a painting, beautiful painting after a fable, Perrette et le Potelet, very famous fable that every children learn at school. But it's funny to see how Fragonard made this subject a libertine subject with the young girl fall down and like this his skirt show naked legs.
Yes.
And then we have another room devoted to the contemporary of Fragonard, some subjects illustrating Saint Lambert, Boufflers, Marmontel, or Madame de Genlis. Most of these paintings show some landscape, country landscapes and rustic interiors. Scenes like the visit to the nursery, very famous scenes.
The genre painting.
Painting, exactly, mm-hmm. with many children.
Well, intimate scenes and yeah. Very much clair-obscur. Very
special light. Mm, and, yes.
Yeah. We cannot forget the famous drawings of Orlando Furioso,
yes,
which is also your specialization.
Yes,
because you,
my favorite drawings. In fact, it's an incredible series. 180 drawings made only for the 15th first chapter of this long poem in 40 canto. Of course, we made a selection. I chose only 14 drawings of this series. But through this selection, we can see how Fragonard was very passionate by these poems and how he make quite a prefiguration of comic strip. We can see
yes.
for 3-4 verses, he made 5-7 drawings.
For each poem?
Yes. Mm. Full of animation and movement. And
it's very lively. It's like
yes,
a movie
music,
scene.
And music.
Yes,
and we
yes.
can hear the music.
Oh, by the way, in the exhibition, you can hear, I guess it's Vivaldi.
Yes, it's Vivaldi. It's not, it's a bit before Fragonard, but I think the inspiration is quite the same as Fragonard, which is very heroic and lyrical.
Well, because also he wrote Orlando Furioso.
Much more before than Fragonard illustrates.
Of course, yes.
But we can compare easily the inspiration of Vivaldi and Fragonard.
Yes. At the end, we have... Fragonard, a brilliant portraitist of brilliant men. We have marvelous painting of Diderot.
Audacious, but I said it's quite like some autoportrait. In fact, we do not know some autoportrait by Fragonard, only little tiny drawings. But through these paintings of Diderot, of philosopher, of Ariosto, inspired by folly and love, we can imagine that they are like autoportrait of Fragonard with an inspired man, an inspired artist, like this genius, like Plutarch, like Diderot, like the philosopher.
Yes, and philosopher who you can really see thinking because there are so many thoughts in his hair and in his brain. You can really...
The technique is perfect to explain this, to let us understand something abstract, in fact.
Yes. And wasn't it already some prefiguration of the Impressionist period?
The technique, yes. It's very quick technique, of course. Could be some prefiguration of Impressionist, like Renoir, for example. Also Daumier, which was a very quick painter, like Fragonard.
Yes, yes. So unfortunately, we have come to the end of our program. But may I remind our listeners that in this magnificent exhibition, Fragonard, The Pleasures of a Century, the Jacquemart-André Museum is presenting a unique collection of some 100 works by the exceptional artist Fragonard from all over the world. And I would like to mention also the very, very interesting catalogue. Thank you and congratulations, because it's a very profound and, of course, with magnificent illustrations. And I only regret that it exists only in French, but maybe an English translation is on the way, no?
I don't know. I did not heard about it, but if someone wants, I would be very happy to.
Be really worthwhile, yes. So, as we heard, the exhibition reveals an artist who was far more cultivated than one might imagine, and who knew how to illustrate the thoughts and the tastes of his time, alternating between pleasure and artistic refinement. This stimulating perspective of the artist's work has been made possible due to the loan of the most prestigious public institutions and private collections, for instance, the Musée du Louvre, l'École nationale supérieure des Beaux-Arts, le Museo Nacional d'Art de Catalunya in Barcelona, the National Gallery in Washington, or the British Museum in London, and also, for instance, the Galleria Nazionale d'Arte Antica in Rome, the Kunsthalle in Hamburg, and many others. And several works are unpublished and others have never been exhibited in France. This exceptional exhibition, which brings together series dedicated to Orlando Furioso and Don Quixote that are now scattered all over the world, is in itself a unique event. Canal Academy is particularly grateful to you, Mrs. Marianne Dupuy-Vacher, for having brought to our attention not only the Fragonard, painter of the pleasures of a century, but also a new Fragonard, a literary Fragonard. Thank you so much for having been our guest in Canal Academy.
Thank you very much for your enthusiastic presentation.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.